I'm drunk.
All right, this is Grace with Gracie Rex, and I have Point with us. And you guys are all from Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you guys all come to be together?
Well, Brian and Matt are the two original founders of this band. And I, as the vocalist and the second vocalist that came into the band, they, you know, had a singer for a little while. And when they wanted to actually start doing stuff, I guess their singer just wasn't ready for it. And so he kind of, you know, backed out, and they auditioned me, and it was really quick, you know, transition, because after my first, audition, they asked me to say, hey, you think you could do a show in 2 weeks? And I was like, why not? Let's just figure it out. So, and it was really cool, because when I had no expectations of anything going into this band, and when I got there, I was blown away of how tight they were. And because you hear stuff on recording, and right. then when you see it in person, it's different. So when I was there, I was like, you know what, this is worth my time. And so we gelled really well, like instantly. Our personalities and all that, and that's how I personally came into the band.
Nice. I think we actually, when you first came into the band, that very first day, we went back to Brian's house.
We did.
And like barbecued.
Yeah. I mean,
great chemistry. He just came in and did an amazing job, and we all just,
instantly. We asked him to join after the,
like, immediately. I think he sung three songs. Man, you know.
He was the first person to try out, and he came prepared with three songs, and that was all it took for us. Yeah. We're like, hey, can you do a show in 2 weeks?
Yeah, it was crazy.
We just, it worked out great.
Yeah, it was really good experience, I think, for everybody. You know, like I said, all our personalities went really well, and as soon as I got through rehearsing with them, you know, Brian was like, hey, man, how would you feel about coming over to my house and, you know, and having some dinner? And I was like, that sounds really good.
Nice.
Oh, and then, we left half the band out, I suppose. Oh. So,
the other guys, I'm not going to tell the story. I'll let them tell the story. But the next person after, you know, myself would be Mr. Jake O'Donnell. And you take it from here.
Me and Joshua over here, the drummer, we used to play in a band together way back in the day. And our old band and Point played together many, 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 many times. And okay. We all became friends with, you know, through the scene or whatever. And then, like I said, through the natural causes of or course of a band, you know, members change and yada, yada, yada. So there became an opening in the band for a bass player. And I was asked by Captain Redbeard over here if I'd be interested in the bass position. I said, sure, that'd be great. And then it just kept on rolling from there. And then there was an opening in the drummer position. I said, hey, my boy Josh, he's killer. I've known him for a long, long time. He can handle it. I absolutely know it. And so I just gave him a ring and brought him over for some cover gigs. So we were gearing up to do at the time to make some cash. And the rest of the guys in Point were like, dude, this guy.
Nice.
This guy.
Yeah, so, I mean, it only took two rehearsals with him to know. I mean, we knew we were losing our other drummer at the time.
Okay.
Because once the album got to the point where it was fixing to be done and ready to put out, we knew touring was the next, you know, the next thing that was happening. So we had to sit down with all the members and we're like, look, this is going to be hard on everybody. You know, everyone's got things that they have here that they're going to ultimately have to put aside for at least some amount of time.
Right.
You know, and he decided
wasn't for him.
It just wasn't for him, and which was really awesome. The way he handled it was very respectful.
Yeah, we're still good friends with the guy. Yeah. He was actually in our latest video.
He was.
Nice.
He's an actor, and that was another
thing. He actually plays the leading role in the Take Control album. So.
Oh, that's cool.
So no hard feelings there. He was very upfront and open about it. And hey, guys, I'm just not in the position to.
When Josh came in and he played, I swear, I mean, we played like probably 20 covers in the very first
and
day.
He nailed every one of them. It wasn't even like, I mean, it was so natural. Like I felt like we were just playing to a radio. It was great. And we all spoke outside of Josh knowing, and we're like, man, this is the guy. Yeah. So we approached him and
we asked him if he knew any of our songs. He's like, yeah, I know a couple. And then we were like, we played like, I think, 8 of them. Well, they weren't perfect.
Even though he didn't know the specific parts, but he could really I mean, on the fly for something like that. It was incredible, man. It really was. So, and we're going to let Josh, you know, tell you his story now.
Yeah, after all the practicing and stuff that went by, a week comes around and then we got a show. Mm-hmm. And my first show was the Fan Summit in Atlanta, our hometown, with 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Have you ever heard of their Fan Summit? It's coming up. It's coming up close to you, actually, this year. It's in, I think it's in Illinois.
That's not close to me.
It's closer to you than it is to us.
It's closer than Georgia to you.
We had a couple rehearsals with Josh, and we had the big profile show, and it went off without a hitch. I mean, nice. We really just slayed that stage, and it was pretty much solid from there. It was like
two music videos,
touring.
All this stuff happens, you know. When I come in there, I'm like, okay, let's do this.
He was like, man, what am I getting into? And now we're touring like crazy now. So.
Nice. Yep. And Discreet Enemy, that came out February 2015, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you guys going to keep touring on that for the next year, or are you working on new music while you're touring?
We're going to tour this record right now. We're probably going to tour the songs for a minute, but we are not going to slow down with material by any means, because by the time we get through with this right here, we're going to be tracking new material. We've been writing the whole time. We just got to sit down and decide what will make the cut and what won't.
Okay.
And
we'll probably end up taking the single route for a little while,
yeah.
Just putting out songs online.
Because you guys paid for all this, right? You did a FundMe. You don't have a record company backing you.
We're all independent.
We are independent and fan-funded only. So huge thanks to everybody out there who ever contributed one penny.
Thank you, fans.
And we're absolutely blown away by people that do that, because, I mean, people, you know, we know how hard times are, and, you know, people just go out of their way to help us. I mean, they see us on the road and we're broken down, and they pitch in right when we need us. Yeah. Or when we need them. And it really, it warms our hearts so much to see fans really come out and do that, you know. So, some of the shows, man, we may not have a lot of fans that come out specifically for us,
right.
But the few that do come out for us, it's huge to us, because we're a small fish in a big pond right now.
Right.
So it's huge to see the response that we're getting.
Yeah, especially being so far from home. I mean, it'd be one thing if we're local to Atlanta and we go play, you know, North Georgia or something.
Right.
And have people come out there. But when we did our tour last summer, we went all the way to California, and we had people at our show or at the show for us singing our songs, wearing our merchandise.
That's awesome.
That's friggin' unbelievable.
Right. Yeah.
I know, I've seen you guys like everywhere. I actually thought you guys were the opener or the headliners tonight. Because like a whole bunch of my friends are always posting your pictures you know, like people who do photography and media stuff.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, they're okay. And then they're like, no.
I appreciate that. That makes me feel good.
It actually wins. You know, it just proves the fact that perception is everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have a manager that works extremely hard on our behalf.
With that being said, you know what? If people believe that, that is what will make our dreams come true.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Really.
I mean, you know, people sharing our stuff is what's going to
make it a reality.
I mean, they can't
for us
see
because
it.
We want to make this a real thing, and we want to prove that we're here to stay. We're not here just to be a short term band and just throw something out there.
Which is part of the reason we're trying to keep it as independent as we can, you know, because we're trying to keep the little bit of money we can make in the music industry.
But I'm just gonna throw it out there. If Mr. Sony Records comes over here and says $5 gajillion, I'm not exactly gonna kick him out the van.
Well, I mean, if we're talking kajillion,
I'll even take millions or thousands.
Right. I don't know if I'm hungry right now.
So. Yeah, we are hungry.
Yeah, I know, right?
With Discreet Enemy, the song, it starts out with letters. You're saying letters in Russian, then in English, right?
Yes.
Did I do my research right?
Yeah.
And you guys said that it goes with the artwork.
Yep.
But from what I could tell, you haven't given more of a description. Mm-mm. So, will you see how? Will you? Because it's been a year. Will you give more?
Well, I will tell you that there's a code in there, and obviously, you know, people are starting to pay attention to see what that is. But we don't want to tell anyone, mainly because it's more fun for us that if, you know, there have been quite a few people that have figured it out, but we have more fun with the people that think they know. And then, and so.
I can tell you this. I'll.
No.
No, this is, this won't give it away. The whole idea was based off of some, I think it was based in like Russia. It was like a form of espionage called number stations.
Okay.
So it's not actually letters that you're hearing at the beginning. It's
numbers.
Numbers. Okay.
And there's an obvious code somewhere on the album cover.
Gotcha. And so they need to buy it and figure it out.
Once you decode how to do it, it's fairly easy to figure out. But that's about all. I mean, it's more fun if people
just think about a mirror. Out.
Okay, so there's the hint.
honestly, I don't know how to figure out the code myself.
Oh my god!
Oh, man. I never bothered figuring it out. I know, dude. On that. I don't know how to figure out the code.
I gave you the clue. That's all that you need to know. Yeah. And if you know, you just take my advice on the mirror thing, you'll be all right.
So you guys will have to let me know if you figure it out.
Me. Just don't stare in the mirror too long. You'll be getting the wrong idea.
What is your guys' favorite song from Discreet Enemy?
Well, I'm the singer, so I'm just going to tell you first what my favorite song is.
Yeah, because he's the most important.
Yeah. I'm going to be arrogant right now.
No, and the other guys.
Yeah. But no, seriously, my favorite song on the whole album, and I've had fun writing all of them, and I love them dearly. They're like my children. So, but the one that sticks out in my mind the most is The Villain for me. It was very personal lyrically for me, and I had a really good time writing it. Jake brought in someone to really make it more special to me, to really add the feel to a consciousness that I really wanted there, and him, you know, being able to bring that element into the song was really huge for me. So it makes it like really special to me. So that's the one for me.
Yep.
Anybody else?
Matt Ryan.
You're like, what? We get to talk to?
Well, I didn't know who was the second in line. You know what I mean?
Anybody says second in line. We're all just in line.
For me, it's What Will It Take? That's my favorite song on the record. It's just from a pure musical standpoint, to me, it's the most well-arranged song on the album. It's, to me, it carries the most emotion. It moves the best. It, you know, I'm a fan of songs that really make you kind of move your head, you know, and that's definitely one of the songs on the album that does it.
So it'd be a good workout song?
I think I don't know if it would be or not. I can tell you this, we do have a lot of Instagrammers
that work out for our music,
though. A couple wrestlers and athletes and MMA fighters and stuff.
We have one chick that does, she wanted to be able to do a handstand, and every week for like, I don't know, it was like 10 or 15 weeks, she posted a video of her trying to do a handstand to our cover of Jason Derulo's In My Head.
Nice.
And eventually she got it, and it was so awesome. Like, it was one of the coolest things to just watch her progress. You know,
right.
Every week she struggled. You know, she was using a wall. And then by the end, she was like walking across the room on her hands.
Nice.
So cool.
Jake?
For me, I'm going to go with Captain Redbeard over here. What Will It Take is probably my favorite song as well. Okay. Just purely because it's different from everything else, and it just hits, man. It hits hard, and it's a lot of fun to play. I mean, it's no real big explanation to it. It's just a kick-ass song.
I tried to listen to your guys' CD on the way down here, but it wouldn't stream. And I would have had to download every single song.
We'll have to hook you up with a real
copy. Yeah. All right. Do you have a favorite song?
Off of Discreet Enemy, I think I like Coping a lot, just because of the message Kenny was conveying at the time that song was written. It had a lot of emotion in it, and
it's real.
It's real. The story,
so, you know, that was in that's in there was something that was actually happening to the band.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, a person basically told me that, you know, we would have to struggle and endure, you know, what we were doing, and it was the cost of doing business. And right. when they said it was the cost of doing business, I didn't hear those words. I really heard bleeding is coping. Yeah. And that's really what I literally, like, when she said that to me, I was like, so I'm supposed to just bleed for you for no reason?
Pretty much just bleed out, yeah.
Gotcha.
And I was like, and that's, and the words just fell out of my mouth. I didn't, it wasn't like, I literally came to rehearsal and we started playing that track and it all just fell out right there. Cool. It was, you know, it wasn't like something I forced out, so.
Right.
An old Daddy Rabbit over here.
Yes, sir. My favorite song off Discreet Enemies. It would be Aberration. It's got really deep lyrics also. Just like all the lyrics that Kenny writes. They're really cryptic. And
big words.
it means a lot to me, you know, just because of the way the lyrics is written, and the drums is really fun to play in that song too.
And he's a badass when he does it live.
He absolutely kills it.
Are you playing it tonight?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
We'll play it tonight.
Yep. Nice. I can't read my questions. I already asked you that. So, you guys have your own studio, Audio Vault.
Yep.
Did I say that right?
Yep.
How did that come to be, and have you recorded anybody else besides
that's
guys?
That's Matt Bryant right here, buddy.
Okay.
Well, when I graduated high school, I decided to go. I wanted to go to college. Unfortunately, my grades weren't good enough to get into a real college.
Dumbass.
So I had to go to a private school.
Community or private?
I went to a private school. I should have went to a community college.
Because you paid big dollars to go.
I'm still paying big dollars. Matter of fact, I'll never own a house, yeah. Which is part of the reason I'm still in a band.
Go to school, kids. Do your homework.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So, So I ended up with a degree in recording.
Cool.
In engineering, because I knew I wanted to be a musician, and I thought if I got a degree in something, it should help me with my dream. And I figured maybe it would help at some point. I guess I didn't realize at the time how much it would help, because it saved us a bukus of money.
I bet.
I built a little studio in my basement. It's nothing special, just a few rooms, and put some gear in there. And
I'm gonna hit the pause button on him. It's a little more involved than just a few rooms. I mean, they looked up the whole soundproofing thing, the double padded walls. I mean, nice. Blah 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 blah. He's making it sound like he just threw some microphones in his.
But it's legit. Nice.
It's legit. You know, he's not giving the credit where it's. Do there. I mean, it's some serious.
Nice.
There's a room within a room within a room with a room for soundproofing and blah 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 blah. So,
yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's legit. So, we're like, you know, with that being said, we're going to be and are very self sustained,
which is awesome.
Yeah.
Which you asked if there was any other people that I've recorded. You know, I've recorded a few like indie bands. Nothing as far as rock goes, nothing impressive. I did. Get to do a song for we did a track, we didn't get to record them, but with Pitbull and Little John.
Oh, they'd be cool.
Yeah,
because they're from Atlanta too, right?
Yes.
Little John is.
Okay.
Pitbull's from Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
From Miami, I think.
Who knows?
Miami.
Day City somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Day County or something. I don't know.
Who knows?
I didn't get to talk to him. I did get to talk to Little John on a video chat one time. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, believe it or not, he doesn't do that.
He doesn't realize.
He's super educated, and like he knows exactly what he's doing. He's a businessman, so
of course.
That was a lot to be learned from Little John. That much. So that's probably the coolest or biggest name I can throw. It's not the coolest thing I ever did, but the song didn't even get released.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. It's on YouTube. We made sure of that.
Cool.
A small video.
That saves you guys money and can make you money eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Or hopefully.
Bella got us on this tour.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the previous tour. And most likely
another tour.
What is... when you guys are on tour, which you are right now, what's playing in the bus van?
This is the
yeah, yeah.
We make it a habit to do this everywhere we go, everything we stop.
We get
local bands only.
Local bands only. Absolutely.
Local music all the way.
Very cool.
Because that's what people's done for us.
Unless it sucks.
Nice.
I mean, yeah, we literally sift through as many bands as we can, and we don't just like just pop them in and throw them out. Sometimes we listen to them if they're.
Is that Gears?
I'm not gonna lie. If some.
Yep, Gears is Gears.
If some of the recordings are just to the point where we just
it's hard to listen to,
then we can't do it. Obviously, right. But
we don't throw them out.
Don't throw them out. But however,
you know what? We were one of those bands at one time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Of us. Every single one of us.
But we still take the time and do the same things that everybody's done.
And any local band, I hate to say the word local, but any opening band or any other bands on the bill, we really try and grab one of their CDs if we can.
We just picked up Screaming for Silence.
A lot of times we do a merch trade or whatever, CD for CD or whatever, that sort of thing. Or sometimes they're just generous to give us a CD to begin with. And we really, really try and support original stuff and not quite mainstream stuff that's out there yet. You know how like Guitar Center has those bulletin boards of, hey, you know, bass player for hire, whatever. Well, most venues have a little table that says, here's our local bands that have CDs and stuff. So
and you
grab
guys
one.
Just grab them. Nice.
Yeah.
What would your fans be most surprised to hear that you listen to though?
Me personally, oh my God. Fans would be surprised that I listen to Justin Timberlake.
What?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think. Yeah, not that far back, you know, but like his 2020 album that he just released.
He was fanboying on Bieber last night. So
no, I didn't do. I don't do the Bieber thing. I can't do that. But Justin Timberlake, man, he's doing this whole big band thing.
He's very talented.
And he's a great lyricist. Believe it or not, you know, a lot of people know this, but you know how he branched off was he tried to write a song for Michael Jackson. And he didn't get it, you know, done. But right then, the fact that Michael Jackson asked him to write him a song, that's huge. So he knew right then that he could do it on his own.
Yes.
So that was huge for me, like to know that and just listening to him progress to where he is today. It's huge. I mean, he really has some awesome lyrics. I'm a lyricist first. I pay attention to that, number one. So like, it's huge for me.
That's cool. Anybody else want to admit to?
Give us the dirty. Come on, don't be ashamed.
What do you listen to?
Look, he's got Katy Perry. Oh.
Kesha.
Kings of Leon. Kesha.
I'm embarrassed right Lady now. Really? Yeah.
I saw you with the In This Moment t-shirt. Come on. I was like, what? All right.
Rabbit?
In This Moment's good.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah, if you're a 14-year-old little girl.
I'm not 14.
Josh, what you listen to that's kind of crazy out there?
I like Barry White, man.
Oh
Lord.
And I've been listening to a little bit of Lenny Kravitz, too.
I like Lenny Kravitz.
Everybody likes Lenny Kravitz, man.
Yeah, I love Lenny Kravitz. Speaking, like, if it was me, like, what I listen to Lenny Kravitz is old, like Let Love Rule. I don't know if you guys ever heard that album, but it is.
Little Girl's Eyes, is that not one?
Little Girl's Eyes, yeah.
That's a great song.
Yeah, I'm a big Deftones fan. Yeah.
Okay.
That's not out of the box.
Let's do something.
Just straight in the box.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at my list. I got everything from Kool and the Gang to Kesha to Missy Elliott to
And that's
Mumford
why we don't
Sons,
let him play the radio.
Right. He's not allowed to be Outkast, ever. Parliament Funkadelic, Pearl Jam, Pitbull.
But you got songs you can sing. See, I could ride with you because that's what I like. Yeah. Songs I can sing
to. I'm a big fan.
I got these guys on here, and if any of y'all are listening, Red Sun Rising, we want to tour with you.
Oh my gosh, I love them. Mike Brian is so Adams. Cool too. He's very nice.
Shooter Jennings.
I listen to a lot of Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters. The O'Neaters are a big one of mine.
Who are they? Like, what do they sing? Are you just giving me shit?
I'm just giving you shit.
Yeah, like,
well, you never know anymore with names.
The O'Neaters.
The O'Neaters.
Okay, so I probably should wrap
this
up.
I'm not here with you guys. I'm here for the big competition, and I'm going to win that big blue ribbon.
About Regis and the Philbins.
What is one of your guys' favorite Pinch Me moments?
Oh, my pinch me moment for me would probably be when we played with Under Oath and All That Remains in 10 Years and Newfound Glory. And even though it, under the circumstances at the time, Band Margera was there on a bad day because his friend had died previously. So, but it was a really great moment just to be able to come together and see that many people, you know, for a concert. Oh, it was huge for me.
What a good question, though. I have not had that question.
Yeah, that's original, man. Yeah.
But have you? I mean, like, individually, have you guys, like...
My big pinch me moment was, it was in El Paso, Texas this past summer when we played with Sons of Texas, and it was the last night that they were on that tour with us, and there was just something in the air that night where it was just, I don't know a better word than say magical, but it was like, you know, just a very surreal night, and there was a one point in their set where everybody from the tour just kind of bum rushed their stage performance.
Oh, nice.
And like everybody's just rocking out on stage with them.
Very cool.
During a Pantera cover they do. And it was just such a crazy, because that place was sold out, packed out. It was, I mean, 1.5 million people right there. And
And then you guys are all just,
our bass player at the time was on tour with us. He saved a banana the entire day.
Yeah.
Like, we left the hotel that morning and he had a banana in his hand. We're like, what are you doing with that, bro? And he's like, don't touch my banana.
Oh my goodness.
And we're like, wow, what's he doing? And later on we found he told us, I'm giving this to Mark tonight, which is a singer for Sons of Texas.
Okay.
And we're like, okay. And so we get there, man, and like everyone bum roasts the stage and everybody's rocking out.
And he didn't know when he was gonna give it to him, but he was like, I'm gonna hit your
album. Right, right.
The perfect time, man. And he came walking out on stage, everyone was rocking out, and he came walking out on stage and handed Mark this banana. And Mark looked at him like he was an idiot.
Yeah.
He was like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? So he like takes it and he plays,
like it's his phallus, you know, I'm not gonna say the other word.
He takes it and he opens it up and takes a bite out of it, and he takes a bite right before he's supposed to.
He damn near choked.
Oh my God.
Such a crazy night.
He went to scream and he got threw up and he threw the banana out into the crowd.
I was like, what are we doing? I mean, this is a long way from home. We got Sons of Texas killing on stage, eating a banana. It's just such a surreal moment. It's like, how are we here right now?
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know. That's me. What do you guys got?
My pinch me moment would be the Drowning Pool show. I mean, their new singer, man, he's amazing. I've never seen Drowning Pool live, never played with them, you know, before. I mean, they just did an awesome job, and that was like, wow. You know, I listened to these guys my whole life, and I'm like, dang, I'm playing with them. You know?
Did you stand on the stage and kind of, like, watch them, or were you...
I got up on the stage and took some pictures.
Hey, fanboyed a little bit.
For me, I'd have to take it all with you. The beginning of point, about 4 months in, we got to play with Drowning Pool and Saliva at the Masquerade to a sold out show.
Nice.
And at that point, we were just, you know, a band with a bunch of guys with dreams, you know, and then we actually got to play our first national, and it seemed real. You know, we're playing in front of people that bum rush the stage and screaming our name, and we're giving out autographs, and I mean, it was just a magical moment for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very cool.
I guess for me, the one moment it wasn't a concert. Everybody chose concerts, but for me, we spent months in this competition with Ernie Ball, Battle of the Bands, and
I forgot about that. And that is huge because we go ahead and tell this.
We spent months like promoting this thing, and we weren't even in the lead. You know, we were like third or fourth in line as far as votes went.
There was
bands in Atlanta that were far ahead of us. I mean, probably triple the votes.
We played with a band that was in the same competition.
They were in the first. They were in the lead. They had
number
like
one.
Yeah, they had like 100,000 more votes than
and
we did.
And the people that were the promoter and the guy that owned the club would went out there and just was boasting about that band. I'm not going to say their name, but they were like, this band is going to do it, this, that, and the other. And didn't even mention that we were even in the competition at all.
Yeah, and it,
which didn't bother us at the time.
Yeah, we didn't care. Because we didn't figure we would win. That was,
at all.
That was the thing. We didn't know, you know. And, but it turns out the top four bands with the most votes in each city got to go in front of the judges, which were like internationally known producers and musicians.
Nice. Zachy Vengeance from Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah,
there were
some really, really, really big names.
Prestigious people that selected. And as a fan of Avenged Sevenfold, that for me, that was huge that he would be like, I would pick this band to be on the bill. That was huge for me.
I bet.
Yeah, and then, you know, just to me, it just spoke volumes and added so much validity to the effort that we were putting in
right.
to make it. Because, you know, at that point, it was the very first time we were judged on our musical talent rather than our ability to have people come to a website.
Gotcha.
And, it made us respect Ernie Ball.
And it was pure, it was pure respect from other big name people that yeah. really...
Well, not to mention it afforded us a chance to open the Rockstar Uproar Tour, which was...
That's
really,
cool.
Really awesome. It was with Godsmack.
I got one that we're all forgetting about.
What?
As a collective, as a band, a big pinch me moment we had just like 2.5 weeks ago. We had a fan come to our show in Tennessee.
Oh, yes.
And
tattooed.
The first point tattoo on any human skin.
I mean, nice. Tattooed my lyrics.
That's huge. The
kid's brain on someone's skin. I was like, I mean, it almost made me cry.
Sure. Right.
That was a pretty unique feeling.
Yeah. You're right about that one, Jake. That's
So, I mean, we've had quite a few. It's really hard to narrow them down, but
right.
it's this whole thing. When it's quite easy to have a pinch me moment when you pour your heart into something. Honestly,
right.
The smallest little victory means the world to someone that's been scratching and clawing out of a ditch for
years.
However many years we've been scratching and clawing.
I'm amazed where we are today.
So,
really.
So just for the record, if Avenged Sevenfold wants Point open up for them, we're ready.
We're there.
And we'll do it for free. Merch sale.
So just give us a call. We're ready.
Yep.
What can fans expect to see from you guys in 2016? Lots of touring. Can you?
Absolutely. 2016, we're going to be releasing some songs, videos.
Another new video.
Kenny's going to be launching his YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'm going to be launching my personal YouTube channel.
Nice.
And me and Matt are going to try to get together and possibly put a clothing line together. And
cool.
We're going to see how it rolls. So there's a lot of things in it that are brewing up. So.
Coming at you hard, baby.
Don't forget the bigger women when you're doing the clothing
Absolutely.
Line. They always forget us.
No, that's one thing that me and Matt, because, look, we got, big guys in our band.
Hey,
there's nothing wrong with
that. I'm muscular. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't like to work out, whatever. Shut up. I like to eat.
Come on,
not
do things. Work out.
Well, it was great to meet you guys. And anything you want to say to your fans?
Yeah, just
keep listening, and I promise you, watch our live feeds because you're going to be surprised.
Those are fun.
So much for the support, for sure.
And so much. Facebook.com/point.
Twitter.com/point.
Instagram.com/point.
And make sure you're watching your tour diaries and reading those because those are pretty cool.
I have to catch up with those. I'm behind 4 days.
Yeah.
That's my job tonight when we're driving.
All right.